It was the last day of my old life. The third week of October, 2017. The year I turned 40. Joe was at school. Iris was at daycare. I didn't know where my husband Tony was. It's peculiar what I can't forget. Our bathroom held the sickeningly sweet smell of geranium-scented cleaner. I wore pants and not a dress, socks but no shoes, a too-tight blouse, unwashed hair pinned in a bun above my neck. I sat against a wall where the taupe paint was scratched, an uncapped EPT developing in my grip. I held the test upside down. I couldn't bear to watch. A gap beneath the door set a rectangle of yellow light across the tub. 2 minutes to know what would become of me. Time passed. A whole life. I flipped the EPT over when waiting got harder than knowing. 2 red lines on a white strip stared at me. A second test lay in the box. I ripped its foil package open with my teeth. Right between the sink and the commode, I crouched down, swearing in disbelief. I was still breastfeeding 12-month-old Iris, still recovering from pregnancy and birth, still lonely the way a mother is when she can't find the person she used to be. I knew when it happened. The deaths of our fathers had brought us close. Tony and I had fumbled to find each other in our unlit bedroom. He'd reached for me, and I held him. There are people in life you feel you've known before. I'd never met Tony. He's a big man, a strong man. He weighs 100 pounds more than me. His eyes are blue, so clear and blue they seem empty and foreign and unreadable. He's a combat veteran, marked emotionally with scars of bullets he survived. Tony prefers life to be raw and unpredictable and intoxicating with risk, or so the years of our marriage tell. Tony's father was dead. He didn't know how to say how much loss hurt. We fucked sweetly in our bed. He didn't pull out. I didn't ask him to. When he comes, he unravels. The wall between us drops for a few miraculous seconds. I'd wanted to please Tony. I'd demonstrate my love by taking all of him. I'd been careless and stupid. 2 more red lines. I threw the test across the room. Of course, it hit the tile over the bathtub, flying back at me. Our situation was disconcerting. We couldn't afford another baby. We were like most Americans. No savings, no emergency fund, lots of debt. Lots and lots. Professors at West Virginia University, Tony and I held the exact same position. Identical jobs. Tony made more than I did. And he didn't even want the job. He was always trying to quit, looking for shinier work, Hollywood writing work. Like so many women, my money was earmarked to look after the children. 70% of what I took home would go to childcare, if we could find it, which I didn't think we could if we had another baby. It had taken a year and a half for a spot to open in a good daycare for Iris, not an uncommon thing in small towns. Demand exceeds supply. There were so few options. I'd placed Iris on several waiting lists 6 weeks into my first trimester. Each one was the same. Write your name on a line and pray.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.